Broadcasting the boisterous part of the fastest game in the world. So strap on your lids and lace them up, Rook. It's time for the Barn Chirpers Hockey Podcast. Take a lap! Hulkster, baby, we're in round three.
Clap it up, boys. Clap it up.
Boys, how we doing, boys? What's up? What's happening? How we feeling? How we hanging?
Well, you know, quite the playoffs so far, friend.
Quite the round two, 100%. Yeah, we some dramatic finishes, some heartbreaks, some sellies, some disappointments, and we're gonna get into all that.
We're going to get into all that, Jack. So let's see. Let's get these up. We wanted to start with Edmonton and Vegas.
Yeah, I think this one is probably – well, this is definitely – speaking of heartbreaks, I mean, this one is definitely heartbreaking for Edmonton, I think. You know, I feel like they did not expect to get – to be done in six games. You know, I feel like they would – I feel like they really would have wanted that seventh game. And I think they had the opportunity to do it, but, man, your boy Skinny, just what happened with Skinny? I mean, we talked about it at the beginning of this playoffs that obviously it was going to come down to goaltending. Mm-hmm. And Skinny got pulled three times in this series. Three times. That's three times too many if you're trying to win, if you're trying to move on and win the Stanley Cup. Like,
yeah, dude. Especially when the backup is Soup.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, well, he did come in and make some saves. I think he faced, you know, full disclosure, I don't have my computer in front of me because it's broken. So stats are going to be irrelevant here today. But I do know he faced less than 20 shots in his entire relief roles. So, like, yeah, he stopped them, but he didn't have that much of an amount, if you will. So, but yeah, man. I mean, Skinner's a rookie, so I feel like, you know, first time playoff experience, you know, that's tough. But I mean, literally, I do know this: McDavid, Draisaitl, and Bouchard were the top scorers in the league for the playoffs, point getters, and they're out of the playoffs now, which is kind of crazy. But to that point, most of those points were scored on the power play. Mm-hmm. So we know Edmonton scores on the power play. If you get a penalty, you might as well just – honestly, you might as well just put the goal on the board and save the 2 minutes because then you have two minutes to at least try to come back. Like if Edmonton goes on the power play, they're probably going to score. But that problem with Edmonton, they didn't score 5-on-5. And that was their issue, really. They couldn't score 5-on-5. Vegas shut them down 5-on-5. So, and to that point, anytime the Oilers get a power play goal, Mark Stone's line would come out after that, and they would usually score an answer. So, Vegas is on something else, and we didn't. Neither of us called it. Nobody called it, really.
What did I have it? Vegas and seven.
I would have to look at the actual notes that I took because hold on, let me look. Let me pop that real quick. I think I said, let's see. okay. All right. Where are we at here? Lord. There it is. All right. So I said the oil in seven. Justin said Vegas in seven. Yep. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, again, when we talked about it, like my reasoning was until Edmonton does it, I don't believe it.
Yeah, no, and you were spot on with that. Spot on with that, 100%. And I agree to that too. And this is just another example of that. Like until they prove it, you know, can you really go with them? But you have to admit that this was definitely the best team that Edmonton put on the ice for a playoff run up to this point, other than goaltending. And goaltending was solid until they played Vegas. So.
Yeah,
Draisaitl's exit interview. Basically, he said it was a failure. Like he looks at this, basically, I wasted a year of my life. This is a failure, and I feel like he's not wrong. Like you have the two best players, arguably, in the league on the same team, and you can't win.
You know, I don't, you obviously don't love to hear that, but you love to hear that they want it, you know, as opposed to like letting it just roll off them, you know, like.
Oh, we'll get to that in another series. Yeah, that's the funny part, I guess. Like, I feel like Edmonton has the ability, especially being in the West. Like, generally speaking, the West is an easier route to the Cup. Not this year, really. The West was pretty stacked this year, but that's all their conversation. But Vegas is a wagon, and we haven't really been giving them their dues. I mean, you did. You picked them, but I mean, just overall in our conversation, like, are we really given? Have we really been giving them the props of being a great team, or has it just been? I mean, they'll probably sneak through.
Well, we're going to find out, you know, we'll get to this later, but we're going to find out because they are playing a quality hockey team in the Western Conference Finals. Exactly. So
it is, I will say, just as a hockey fan, you know, the whole Jack Eichel thing with, you know, the whole Jack Eichel thing, we'll just put a button on that. Mm-hmm. It is nice to see as a hockey fan that he is actually saying essentially what he was going to do, like, give me a chance in the playoffs and I can do something. And he is actually showing up. I want to say, I think he has 10 points in the playoffs. Again, it's between 9 and 12. I know that since I don't have the stats in front of me, but he's actually showing up. So, I mean, props to that. And again, as a hockey fan, you do love to see that, especially Eichel went number 2 in the same draft as McDavid. So, you know, he's always been touted as this amazing, talented player, but the negative part was, oh, he was in Buffalo, he didn't ever have a chance, yada yada yada. So it's good to see that he's actually showing what he's showing, all the shit he talked, basically. Mm-hmm. He's backing it up. So I'm here for that.
It's good to see. Like, look, I have problems with Vegas. I don't know if we've gotten into them on this program.
We will.
But we will eventually. I've got problems with Vegas, and you know, it's very dumb reasons to dislike the squad. But like, when you watch them play, like, it's very, you know, I watched a handful of Knights games this year, including against my Devs, and you know, it has that same frustrating feeling when I watch the Canes, and more on that soon. But like, they can be punishing and suffocating, and they shoot. They shoot and score. So, you know, like, am I surprised that they're here? No. You know, I'm surprised that it's been as easy as it has been. But
yeah,
like you said, they're a wagon, and I think we've just kind of been wanting them not to be.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with that. I think it's been more so of like, I just don't want them to win, and there's really no, I don't have a reason to hate Vegas. I don't even actually hate Vegas. It's worse. I'm indifferent about Vegas. I think that's what's worse, like a worse feeling to have than hate or love, being indifferent. Like, you just don't care about Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I'll tell you one team that we all cared about.
Our boys, man. The crack. Well, you know what? Of course, they did go down in game 7. But this team, and as we've talked about, and we've pumped their gas this whole entire show, being our fourth episode now, but the crack, I mean, they defeated the Stanley Cup champions.
Mm-hmm.
They were bottom of the barrel last year. They made it into a wild card slot. They beat the Stanley Cup champions in 7 games. They took this team, Dallas, who essentially was number 1 in the Central the entire year until the last game of the year when Colorado took the number 1 spot. And they took them to 7 games as well. This team, speaking of wagons, this team is a wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, we've talked about it, the amount of depth that they have on this team. I will say that they do need to go out and find a superstar.
Yeah,
they do need a superstar. And while I do think Andre or Burakovsky is a solid player, I don't think he is a superstar. And he was out the entire playoffs because of an injury. I don't think he is at a superstar level. He's a great player, but I do think Seattle needs to go out and find a superstar to help the rest of that depth essentially score when it's needed. So in game seven, they're down 2-0, and I mean, Grubauer stood on his head. It should have been 6 or 7, honestly. Like, Grubauer stood on his head. So what I'm getting to is, I think this team was such a positive turnaround from last season. This was a successful season. Yeah, they lost, but they got to the second round, and nobody expected that. Nobody expected them to be here.
Nope.
And the other thing, too, is so when they pulled the goalie, they pulled Grubauer, and they did score with 17 and a half seconds left.
That's right.
In the third period, they got it to the point, and they got it past Otter, who was also amazing in this whole series and in this game. They couldn't get anything past him. They score with 17 and a half seconds left, Oliver Bjorkstrand. And then it's like, all right. And then they made a fight with that last 17 seconds too. They almost got a good shot off in that 17 seconds. The point being, they were Matt Hardy version one, baby. They did not die. They never said die. And that, I think, speaks more volumes than anything, because I think they brought the game, obviously the game of hockey, but this brand of hockey to Seattle that we're never giving up, we're never counted out. So I think it's going to play huge to the hockey community in Seattle. Mm-hmm. But to my earlier point there of bringing in a superstar or some bigger name players, I honestly think that this brand of hockey that they showed throughout this playoffs is going to could potentially attract some big time players, some unrestricted free agents that are coming up here in this offseason to come to Seattle and play hockey for them. I mean, maybe I'm just being a homer with that, but the way they played this playoffs, man, I know we haven't talked anything about Dallas at this point because we're Kraken fans. I get it. Mm-hmm. Kind of homer takes here, but if you look at it unbiasedly, they literally should have had no chance against Colorado and against Dallas.
Absolutely.
Should have had no chance. And they played 14 games extra out of that in their season.
Yeah.
So I love this brand of hockey, and I love this team. And I honestly shed a tear. I was watching the game. I stayed up late to watch this game because I was like, I have to watch the boys. I have to. And when the buzzer hit, I dropped my head and like I got sad for a minute. And then I was like, no, man, this is a good season for the Kraken. This is honestly a good season. So, yeah, they lost, but they lost to Dallas, which, again,
there's no shame in that.
There is no shame in losing to Dallas by any means. Dallas, they are a high-powered offense. They have a goalie who is unstoppable most of the time. And he has that stat where after a loss, he's undefeated. Mm-hmm. He hasn't lost after a loss. So, you know, what are we doing?
I think I want to echo your point because it was something that I didn't even think about until you started talking about Seattle. Is I think this showing is just made Seattle like a lightning rod. It just made them a destination in this offseason. I think people will be looking at Seattle, and I don't think they were before. I think, you know, this was just the team that they built. And as a matter of fact, Nathan Bastian, they picked him up in the expansion draft, and before the end of the year, he was back in New Jersey. So I think what they just did was people are going to want to go play there. And like you said, I think, you know, I don't want to, because I was too a little sad that they couldn't pull off the upset, but you know, I want to see that one big player go, yeah, I'll go to Seattle. I'll be the one that, you know, lifts them up to the next level. Because I think that's literally all they need. I mean, you know, that's the biggest thing they need.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, they have Grubauer, Eberle, Bjorkstrand, Alesiak, Beniers, McCann, Schwartz. They have a lot of guys that are locked up for at least the next 3 years. So that's solid right there. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't have the exact number in front of me because computer problems, but I do know they have a good amount of cap to spare. So again, this offseason will be very telling of what squad will come to the table next year. But again, I think, like you said, just the public perception, I think, of the Seattle Kraken is better for players and the public alike than it was for Vegas. And I'll say, even though Vegas obviously went to the Stanley Cup final in 2018 in their first year, they got beat by Washington, by the way, if anybody doesn't know. But and Vegas has made the playoffs four out of their six seasons at this point, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like the optic of the Kraken, yeah, they lost. But again, that team that doesn't die. I feel like there's something about that optic of the Kraken than there has been for a Vegas team.
Yeah.
If that makes sense too. I feel like it's kind of been, yeah, that first season of Vegas was great. Like, oh my gosh, this expansion team went to the Stanley Cup final. But I feel like something about that, that level that they got to right away. Mm-hmm. And now there's, if they don't get there, like that's their, you know what I mean? It's a ceiling, like, oh, well they, it's just, the expectation for Vegas is higher than it is for the Kraken. But again, now showing that they won't die, the Kraken won't die. So yeah, it'll be interesting, but I do think what they did this year to the playoffs, how they moved along, that will attract at least a couple good name players. I feel like, I don't see how it wouldn't, honestly.
And, you know, more on that, you know, in the off season when we get there. Sure. But, and I also, you know, like you said, there are boys like they became the Western Conference, my Western Conference team.
Yeah. Same.
So I don't want to take anything away from Dallas.
No, not at all. And we spent 10 minutes talking about the Seattle Kraken and 1 minute talking about Dallas.
But I want to tip the cap, because as I begrudgingly, you know, I watched between the two series so far, begrudgingly watched a lot of Dallas Stars hockey, and I hate to give it to them, but they are a quality hockey team. They're a lot of fun to watch. And I hate that, because I hate the Dallas Stars.
So. Well, and it's, you know, we have talked in a previous episode about how good Dallas is. And again, as a hockey fan, Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin, huge contracts that the Dallas Stars pay them. They haven't really shown up in the last couple of years, really. And they're showing up this year. So as a hockey fan, like, all right, good. Miro Heiskanen averaging almost 30 minutes of ice time with a broken face too, after he got hit in the face with a puck. So he's a beast. Robo hasn't shown up yet, really. But I mean, I said it before, I would love to see Pavelski hold the cup. Honestly, he's such a great player, and he's put in the work to get there. And then and Roope Hintz's having a hell of a year too. So and as we talked about Otter, Otter's killing it. So
he's been out of this world.
It's and because he's so young, there's been, you know, a couple of those 5 and 6 goal games for him to jump back and do a 0-3 goal game is great to his confidence too. So yeah, again, we spent a lot of time talking about the Kraken, but Dallas is a hell of a team too. So we're not taking anything away from them. We're just homers for the Kraken.
Yep. So speaking of homers.
Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead. It's all right.
Boy, oh boy. Look, I just want to echo the sentiments that we said about the Seattle Kraken. Now, granted, this one only goes 5. The Devs get beat in 5. Literally none of us saw that coming. I think for me, that was picking them in 6 was homer. And I didn't realize I was that close to it.
Right. And so did I. I picked them in 6 also.
Right. And so did Corey. Like, all three of us picked them in 6. And I think coming off of the big win against the Rags and the injuries, I thought they're ripe for the picking.
Yeah.
But not realizing that the injuries to Carolina, while big, not their top three goal scorers, number one. And number two, the Carolina Hurricanes are just a pesky grizzled veteran team. They just they are polished. They rarely play a bad game. And they are just suffocating. And I should have known because I watched them. I watched these two teams play earlier in the year. And each game, I'm just frustrated watching the devs against them because they are just suffocating. And they suffocate and then they push the up to our blue line and their blue liners start taking shots. And it's just relentless. And they cycle and cycle and cycle and shoot. And shoot and shoot and frankly the boys just weren't ready. Like they were just too young and just not up to the challenge. Now I will say that like they get blown out in three out of the four losses, which stinks.
Yeah,
but they blow them out in the one win, which is great. And they fought in game five. You hate to see them lose, especially the way they did with Siegs, with a delay of game penalty in overtime. Yeah. Blows.
Yeah.
But the fact that they fought on the way out, they didn't just get the hell beat out of them one more time, leads me to believe that, you know, I already knew it was a good season. I've said already in our five episodes that this was a win for the Devils, regardless. For sure. Period. No matter how this went, this was a win. But the fact that they didn't just lay down for game five and, you know, go on home. They went in to hostile-ass territory, pushed the Carolina Hurricanes into an overtime when they were clearly outmatched. You know, like, just the devs aren't there yet. And that's what this was.
Yeah, I mean, to all of your comments, exactly. I mean, Carolina just clogs up the neutral zone, and they're fast enough where when they get the puck, they can break out of that neutral zone. And like you said, shoot the puck. That's the biggest thing that I saw in this series, and even in the series with the Rags, is like, just shoot the damn puck.
Just shoot it.
When you get the puck, just shoot it, because you never know what can happen. Mm-hmm. You shoot the puck, and the second guy in is crashing the net. You never know what can happen. You know what I mean? So, like, just that lack of shooting the puck. And, again, like you said, that's what Carolina does. Yeah. Same thing. I don't think that this is a failure by any means by the Devils. Yeah, they lost in five, and that sucks. But I'm definitely taking the optimistic route of it, because I've seen some comments online or whatever that, you know, this was, the Devils, they were one of the best teams all year, and they should have done more, and this was their year. And this is a failure if you don't get to the cup. And I can see and understand that. But again, this is such a young team. Mm-hmm. And this experience is going to be huge for that young team in the future. Not only turning your season around from last season, being bottom of the barrel, being a bottom five team, this year they're a top three team in the entire NHL. And that's already amazing, as we've talked about. But you go into your first series and you defeat in seven games, the pressure of seven games, right, to beat a team that was considered to be the Stanley Cup favorite because mm-hmm. of all their trades and all that, yada, yada, yada. You beat them in seven games. So already that's a huge experience for you. And also playing in that game seven is a huge experience too, because yep. there's nothing like a game seven, mm-mm. you know. So you have that experience. And then we play to Carolina, and again, that experience of you got your ass handed to you a couple of times.
Yeah.
That's a real kick in the pants, but that's experience too, and you can come back from that. So, again, I see this still as a positive. They got through to the second round. Again, they were almost dead last year. So, a huge turnaround. It is not a failure. It is a success, because you got this experience, and you can take that forward. And again, like, teams that, I mean, there isn't a team that has won the Stanley Cup that hasn't struggled. Mm-hmm. A core group of players that have been together that hasn't, like, there hasn't been a core group of players that just goes on and wins. There's always a struggle before you get that win, mm-hmm. because that's why it's the hardest trophy to win, as I've said millions of times. The only glaring thing that I see with the Devils is they have, I believe, 13 guys that are about to be free agents, restricted and unrestricted. So like that's half the team. So that could be a problem. And I'm not sure what the cap is for the devs. Maybe you know. But so they got to resign some guys, and they might have to let a couple of guys go and see what they can do. But I think that's the only glaring thing. So, and kind of jumping back to those comments that I've seen about why the Devils needed to do it this year because of, you know, all the free agents that they're going to have. But I still feel they're going to sign most of those guys. And, you know, if the ones that they don't, I feel like they have a pretty good farm system that they can make up for that. I don't see them regressing out of where they were. They may not be a top three team next year, but I don't see them falling out of, you know, the upper echelon of the teams. Because even if you lose guys, like, you don't just flip like that, generally speaking. Yeah. It's from all the years of being a hockey fan, we see what the Devils have done from last year to this year. You don't usually see a huge regression, even if you lose some guys, generally speaking. So the future is still bright for them. And again, no shame in losing to the Canes. They, as we've talked about now, the Canes are a hell of a team. And I feel like this Carolina team is the same as how I felt about Vegas. I'm just indifferent about it. And that's why I haven't really picked them. That's why I haven't really bought into them, because I'm like, eh, I'm indifferent about it. They're a Metro rival. So like, I would love to see them lose, really, honestly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can't deny that they're a hell of a team.
You can't deny results. You can't deny results. We picked against them in the first round with the Isles. You know, that was a very sexy pick. I think a lot of people were taking that pick. Corey was the only one of us three that picked Carolina in the first round. And then all three of us, we picked – not only did we pick the Devs, we picked the Devs in six. But like to your point earlier, Carolina is exactly what you were talking about earlier. This Carolina team, this core, has been going through it for the last couple of years.
Yes, exactly.
That is what is happening right now, is what they've been through is just, all right, well, now's the time. Let's go. And, you know, especially the Bees get bounced. It's like, okay, so we are the best team. We are literally the best team left.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this core of Carolina has been bounced in the Eastern Conference Finals at least twice, a first round exit and a second round exit, if I'm just off memory. I know they've been bounced in the finals twice because Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
They're a hell of a team. You can't take it away from them.
You absolutely can't. And again, you hate to see it for the boys.
You hate to see it, considering that we're both Metro guys, but you know, it is what it is, I suppose. There's no stopping them. Obviously, there hasn't been any stopping them to this point. So
before we get into conference finals, there's one last matchup.
Jesus Christ!
We got a few graves to dance on here.
Oh man! I mean, how fitting was it that they couldn't But they try to come back and they win in Florida just so they can lose on home ice that in Toronto.
Dude.
How fitting of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I'm pretty sure we all, again, picked the Leafs because why wouldn't we?
Why wouldn't we?
Theoretically, I mean, why wouldn't we?
We said it like, oh, they got out of the first round. They bounced the Bees. They must have all this momentum. I was riding that train like, oh, they're going to have so much momentum. They're going to destroy the Panthers.
Nah, man. And we talk about the struggles. This Panthers team has done that. They've gone through the struggle, like probably not as hard as Carolina, but they were the best team in the league last year, which we kept discounting. Yeah. And the Leafs are the Leafs.
Jesus, man. I mean, it's satire at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been satire for years, but it just, I mean, anytime, speaking of, in your boys' series as well, anytime you go to overtime, dude, I mean, obviously it's a 50-50, and you've put yourself in that position to be in overtime. So, you kind of, you get what you pay for. And same thing, delay a game penalty that ends this series. Yep. Delay a game penalty and just a drive down into the zone. Gudis, of all people, my man Goody. He's been one of my fantasy guys for years now at this point. Former Capital. Dishes the puck to Nick Cousins, and Nick Cousins just wide open and puts it in the net. Game over. Series over.
What a wildly, what a wildly different Panthers team than the one we saw in Nashville. The one we
wildly
saw, this Panthers squad got their asses handed to them by the Preds.
Tim McGraw was dancing all over their effing faces.
Absolutely. In
Nashville. Justin, I have to ask you this question. If you were to guess who was the best goalie in the playoffs, who would you guess?
Well, I mean, if it wasn't for Ullmark, Otter is probably, you know, he's probably winning the Vezina, right? So, like, it's gotta be Otter.
Otter's the best in the playoffs?
Yeah, you would think, right?
No, Justin, you were wrong. You were very wrong, actually. The best goalie in the playoffs is none other than number 72, Sergei Bobrovsky.
What the hell? Officer Bob.
With a 1.76 goals against average and a .943 save percentage.
Wow.
Sergei effing Bobrovsky. What?
Dude, like, how many times have we talked about Bob and his floor? His floor has been 5 goals all year.
Easily. If Bob's playing, you're getting at least 4 goals.
What is happening? I mean, good for him. You know, he's getting that payday, yeah. So good for him for getting it back together. But, man.
Well, I mean, more so, like, about time you start earning that 10 mil, bud.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, man, it's just, you know, this Panthers team is something else. The key, you know, I don't know what to say. Well, I do know what to say because we mentioned it on a previous episode. Like, this version of the Panthers is what the President's Trophy should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And this wildcard team is what showed up last year. So it's just bizarro world, Stranger Things, upside down world right now. But they're a solid team. They're a wagon too, honestly. They, much like Carolina, they just pressure you and pressure you and pressure you. And same thing, they shoot the puck. They get it in the zone. And they shoot the puck. And essentially, they're playing with house money. So they literally are on I don't give an F mode. So whatever happens, if we lose, yeah, we were supposed to lose. We were a second wildcard team. We're supposed to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But we're winning because we don't give an F. There's no expectations on this team to do anything. You know what I mean? Even to this point, honestly, being in the conference finals, I would still say that there is no expectation on this team.
Nope.
And we'll get to our predictions in a bit here. But there's no expectations on this team. So that's a very dangerous spot to be for everybody else. They're a dangerous team because they don't give a F. You know what I mean? And like I said, they get the puck, they shoot it. And they're getting some puck luck. And, yeah, I mean, we're not saying much about Toronto because what's to say? You blow it every single year.
Yeah.
Every single year you blow it. The one bright side of this, we'll call him Mr. Brightside. I'm tagging it right now. Joseph Woll did a hell of a job in his second ever playoff game in a high-pressure situation about to lose and the series be done. He played outstanding, Justin.
Yeah.
You know, I mean – Sammy did do – I'm not taking anything away from Sammy because he did play well when he was on. And we talked about it in a previous episode. He seemed like he didn't really get there until the second or third period because he was lights out in the third period when he was playing, Sammy, that is. Then obviously he got hurt, and I said what I said about that. I still believe that. I feel like he's a little bitch, but that's something else. But Joseph Woll, let's call him Mr. Brightside, because the only bright side of the Toronto Maple Leafs is Joseph Woll. That he even kept them in this game. But speaking of core, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and then I'm throwing Tavares in there too. Tavares has only been there for 5 years while the other guys have been there for 6 and 7. Between them, 3 goals.
Blah.
In this series. 3 goals between them. Two of them were from Nylander. The other one was from Marner. Matthews didn't do anything. Johnny Toe Drags didn't do anything. Mitch Marner didn't do anything. You spoke earlier about I forget exactly what you said about I forget what I was going to go with that, but essentially I was going to tie it to Toronto. But Toronto, their guys are just like, oh yeah, it's disappointing, you know. Yeah.
Just right off their back.
You know, just whatever.
What is that?
I mean, if I'm Kyle Dubas, somebody needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe most of them need to go. Maybe all of them need to go, honestly. Maybe because, yeah, we talked about a squad has to struggle and go through the struggles to reach the pinnacle. Yes, 100%. I mean, you know, I'll throw the Capitals under the bus, right? I mean, since Ovi came in the league in 2006, you know, they didn't win until 2018. So Ovi, Backstrom, Wilson, right? Those are essentially Carlson. Those are the core. And it was a lot of years of struggles. But it wasn't first-round exits. Mm-hmm. They had first-round, second-round, third-round exits. There was at least progression. Toronto Maple Leafs have had no progression in that 6 and 7 years that Matthews, Marner, Nylander have been together. No progression at all until this year. You get to the second round, and then you don't show up.
At all.
At all. You don't show up. And I will say, because I did watch most of those games, they did do some other things that didn't show up on the scoreboard, putting in some hits, getting some takeaways. But you are paid to lead the team and put pucks in the net, mm-hmm. and you didn't do that. Marner is there to be a playmaker. You didn't do that. Matthews is there to put it in the net. You didn't do that. Johnny T is there to set things up, put things in the net. You didn't do that. You got to go. How can you honestly bring these guys back or re-sign them? Matthews is on his last year coming this upcoming year. How are you going to re-sign him when he hasn't done anything for you?
Had a couple of really good regular seasons.
Yeah, you have great regular season, 60-plus goals, and then you don't show up in the playoffs. Buddy, you got to go, my friend.
And you talk about, you know, like the Rangers made all those moves at the deadline. Who was right behind them? Toronto, wheeling and dealing. And
they made every single move. They bought and sold everybody.
Yeah. And yet here they are. They're golfing today. So defeated. Like, they defeat us attitudes. Like, yeah. Shrugging it off. Come on, man.
I mean, again, not taking anything away from the Panthers, because as we know, they're a hell of a team.
Mm-hmm.
But you won one single game against the second wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this team on the ice. It should have been the other way. You should have destroyed them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, once again, you're sitting at home watching the rest of the playoffs. They all need to go. They need to go. Keep Morgan Rielly. Get rid of everybody else, honestly. Get rid of everybody else. Because right now is probably the most that you're going to get of a take for these players, I think. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, again, great regular season, but you don't show up in the playoffs. Like,
For what?
And I saw this too, looking back at past Leafs teams of, let's say, even 10 years ago. Or excuse me, let me say this first. The media is asking Marner and Matthews and them, like, do you want to stay here type of a thing? Like, oh, yeah, I want to be here, blah, blah, blah. You look at 10 years prior, I saw this. I don't remember where I saw this, but guys like Phil Kessel that were on the Leafs, Dion Phaneuf, guys like that, they were getting asked, why aren't you playing better? Why aren't you doing more for this team? Not, do you want to stay here? You know what I mean? Like, those guys were getting pressured, like, why do you think you deserve to stay here in Toronto? But now, flip side is, "Oh, Austin, do you want to stay here in Toronto? Do you like it here? Do you want to stay with us? Get out of here. Honestly, you're shit. I don't care how many goals you put in the regular season. You don't do anything. You're
at some point.
Go play your fashion game, whatever. Like, you're get out of here."
Well, just like we were talking about on the other side with Edmonton, at some point you got to do the thing. You have to at least, God bless it, get to the conference finals for the Leafs. You have to at least do that.
Yeah, and again, even okay, getting the monkey off the back and being in the second round, yeah, okay, but it's still a failure. Honestly, mm-hmm. It's a failure.
But that team on the ice, and you only go five games with the Florida Panthers?
I would have a different take if they took it to seven. Yeah. I would have a different take. I would say, okay, that's a solid effort. You went to game seven, like you took Boston to game, or excuse me, not Boston. Why am I drawing a blank?
Tampa.
You took Tampa Bay to game seven, and you took the Panthers to game seven. Both great teams. Okay, let's build on that for next year. But even that gentleman swept. Mm-hmm. Florida was basically like, yeah, you can win this game. It's fine. You can win this game on our home ice because we're going to end the series on your home ice because that's how vindictive we are.
And you couldn't have written it any better because we were talking going into game four. It's like, man, I kind of want to see the sweep happen just because. You
know, yeah, get those brooms out. And yeah, I mean, shit, man, if you're going to lose on home ice in Toronto, wouldn't you rather have gotten swept?
So you would think. You would think.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I mean, Florida's a hell of a team. Toronto, it's going to be a lot of off-season moves, I think. It needs to be. If it isn't, it's just going to be more of the same. So,
I'm looking forward to getting into some of the off-season stuff, but there's still plenty of season, Joe.
It sure is.
Our Western Conference Finals, man. The Dallas Stars and the Vegas Golden Knights, to say that I didn't see it coming, just because I didn't pick it doesn't mean I didn't see it coming. I was basically picking against Vegas just because I didn't want it to happen.
Right.
I was picking against Dallas because they were playing against two of the teams that I watched a lot and really enjoy their brands of hockey, the Wild and the Kraken. But these two like are the cream of the crop in the West, and they just wrote it.
Well, I guess technically 1-3 because Colorado won the Central, but really this is 1-2. I mean, Dallas, like I said, owned the Central the entire season. So this is technically the second best. First and second best teams in the West. So it makes sense that they're playing each other here in the conference finals. And like you said, and we talked about earlier, yeah, I'm just indifferent about Vegas. But I like Dallas. I like their brand. Otter, again, I would love to see Pavelski hold the cup. I love Robo. I've had a lot of those guys on my fantasy team this year. I had Robo, Hintz, and Ben. So I'm kind of a homer atmosphere for that too, because hey, I support these guys too. So I haven't been, I'd have to go back and look at my entire picks and stuff, but I haven't done very well with picks. Yeah. I'm definitely in the losing end of picks.
I think the only one I've gotten right was, well, of these four was Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I picked the Kraken in seven.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly. So I feel like I've been wrong, so I feel like I should pick. I mean, do you have anything else to say to it, or should we get to the picks?
The only thing I'll say is I think the one thing, for as indifferent or even hateful as I am towards both of these squads, I think they're going to put on a quality product. I think if you're a hockey fan like Corey and I, and have problems with you know, hockey in Texas, hockey in Vegas, put that shit aside. And I think if you watch Dallas versus Vegas, I think they are going to put on a show.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, to that point, it's going to be an all South Stanley Cup Finals. So, you know, Gary Bettman hates that. Even though Vegas was his baby. But yeah, he still probably hates it. I'm sure he probably wants Arizona and San Jose, Arizona and Tampa Bay to be the Cup Final. But anyway, yeah, I agree. I think this is going to be a hell of a series. You know, I would say this is going to go to seven games, but I've been wrong every time I've said that. So I'm going to say Dallas in five.
Dallas in five.
Dallas in five.
Did we get a pick from Corey?
I didn't see anything come through. He definitely is not going to pick Dallas. He 100% won't pick Dallas because of his hatred of Texas.
All right, let's see, because that's right. You're on your phone. That's why you didn't.
Yeah.
I'm in the thing. Sorry, folks. I got to scroll. Corey has.
Oh, he did. He did.
Yeah, we were wrong.
He picks Dallas?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Corey's pick is Dallas in seven.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
Oh, I think it's going to be Dallas as well, but the question is where. I will say I don't think Vegas has seen enough adversity to this point. So I don't know that they have the fight to go the distance with them, like Corey's saying. I'd like to think that they're a better hockey team than getting beaten five, like you said. So I'm going to go right in between you guys. I'm going to go with six, Dallas and six.
It's a solid pick. Yeah, I mean, again, with Vegas, they haven't really had that adversity. You know, they got lit up in a handful of games, or in two of those games that Edmonton won. And that's really just the goaltending again. But yeah, adversity, not really. Obviously they walked through the Jets, and really, well, by the score, they kind of walked through Edmonton too, 4-2. Mm-hmm. So, and they beat the Jets 4-1. So yeah, that's been kind of an easy route. So,
all right. See how it goes. That is our West. And for the East, the Carolina Hurricanes and the Florida Panthers, friend.
I'm going with Florida because they don't give an F. I'm going to say Florida. I feel like this one has got to go seven. I'm going to say Florida in seven.
All right. Let's get that up there. And what did Corey say? Florida in
Florida.
Florida in six.
Yep, so yep.
Corey has Dallas in seven. And Florida in six. Okay.
What you going with, Hulkster?
Man. All right. So I got Dallas in six, right?
Yep.
It pains me to do this.
Oh, no.
It really pains me to do this. But I'm going Canes in six.
Woo!
Because I've just seen so much Carolina hockey this year.
Yeah. I mean, you have a solid reasoning why.
I've just seen them so much, and you know, I hate to pick against the hot hand. You know, the Panthers have just played so well, but so have the Canes. And you know, I think it all comes down to what Bob do we get. If it's five goal Bob, the Canes are going to eat that alive
for sure. Yeah, they are definitely going to score. And again, going into this playoffs, we were like, oh, how is Carolina going to score? They haven't scored at all. And I'm eating those words. 100%. I'm eating those words. The series of the Islanders was just a fluke because this team can score. And I heard and I saw that Teuvo Teravainen is playing tonight.
Oh, okay.
So he's back. So that could be a boost to the offense as well.
Yeah.
That remains to be seen.
So both you and Corey have Dallas and Florida, and I've got
Dallas
and Canes. I hope I'm right, because it would be nice to be right for once. And this and it's all about, you know, it's just all about what I've seen. So like there's no real, I haven't seen enough Panthers hockey to be able to say for sure, like how they're going to stack up against it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm literally just going off of my first instinct. I'm not thinking about any of those picks deeply. I've been wrong my entire bracket when I really analyzed it and really thought about it. So I'm just going with my gut. And yeah, Florida's the hot hand. Again, it's not going to be easy. That's why I said seven. So it's exciting though. I mean, this has been honestly one of the most exciting playoffs for me to watch since Washington's run in 2018. And that's even including, again, this has been the most exciting playoffs since 2018 when the Capitals had their run, because, you know, I didn't care for Tampa Bay's dynasty run. I don't care for Tampa Bay. The bubble was, the bubble year was just great because we at least got to watch something. Something was on. Sports wise to watch, but it was terrible. It wasn't
Tampa and Montreal.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good. But yeah, exactly. So but yeah, it's been a great playoffs. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this West Conference Finals shapes up.
So last thing I'll say is, you know, and we said this a little bit about Dallas and Vegas. Talk about putting on a show, like just period. This playoffs has been a show, and now is the time to get into hockey. This is
for sure.
This has been, and this is from a guy who just saw his team get stomped. This has been great. Like, this has been a stellar playoffs, and it's gotten me to a point where I don't hate the Stars quite as much, or at least not, you know, for illegitimate reasons. I'm psyched about watching Vegas games. What? Like, you know, again, we pointed out several times this episode that, you know, I'm indifferent towards them, but I'm psyched to see them play the Stars. Like, that is such a good matchup. And then on the other side, Carolina and Florida, just great stories. Like, Carolina just being a fucking powerhouse, just showing the fuck up when they needed to and playing well. And then the Panthers, like, second wild card, you know, taking down Giants. You couldn't write it any better. And like you said, Bettman's probably shitting himself, but in spite of himself, because this ends up being a great product.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I hope, and I haven't looked at, so like, just for instance, that Vegas and Edmonton game on Saturday or Sunday. Yeah. It was Sunday night. It was on at 10 PM. The only game on for the day. And baseball wasn't on until Sunday evening. Basketball wasn't on. Why was that not in prime time or earlier in the day? And that's the only downfall, as always, the NHL getting in its own way. So I would hope, and I haven't looked at the scheduling yet, I would hope that now that there's only the final four, that there's some better scheduling going on, at least when we get to Saturday, Sundays. Playing, like, there's going to be one game.
Yeah,
put it on when the most eyes can watch it.
Yes,
otherwise you have no reason to complain that the ratings are down, dickhead.
Yeah, and especially you've got, you know other than Raleigh, you've got three out of the four teams are like really big markets. So
yeah, Exactly. So why aren't you having it in prime time? So
capitalize.
But we'll get to that at another time. So
yep.
You got anything else?
No, I think that does it, right?
Cool. All right. Yeah, we'll be back next week talking about it'll probably be a couple, there'll definitely be a couple of games in the bag, and we'll have a better idea of how the conference finals are shaping up. So until next time, Sick Taps and Sellies, boys.
Yep. End the broadcast.
End the broadcast.